You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Look like a little country. Some rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
You are listening to Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable, the radio show which features conversations with and the music of local musicians and musicians performing in town. I am your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable, I have back Samantha Talora, and we're going to be talking about her next visit to Savannah, and that is going to be for a cabaret performance entitled Night and Day, and this is going to be part of the Savannah Voice Festival. The Savannah Voice Festival runs from August 7th to the 16th, and is entitled Sunny Days and Starry Nights, and of course, this will be both night and day, apparently. And so we'll have both sunny and starry songs in this cabaret. And the cabaret will actually be on August 14th. That's a Friday at 5 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah, which is on Troop Square. And this is going to be involving not only Samantha Talora, but a Savannah favorite, and that's Asaf Gleisner, who we'll be delivering a concert of musical gems and sharing stories, both poignant and pointed, at this cabaret event. I want to welcome you, Samantha Talora, back to Savannah Music, Local and Sustainable.
Thrilled to be with you. Thank you. I can't believe, it was October the last time that we spoke before our October concert. I had the pleasure of coming back down in May for another program. But time just keeps on moving, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Well, let's talk about things that you've been doing recently. Before we went on the air, we were talking about Tanglewood, because I'll be up there shortly. But you went to a performance last night at Tanglewood that sounds like it could be part of a cabaret.
Yeah, easily could be a story. It was Tanglewood has so many visions when you think of it, if you're familiar with it. And last night was one of those. It was a program that was centered around the music of Leonard Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim with the Boston Pops. And there were four wonderful singers who concluded the evening. And what really concluded the evening was a power outage due to a lightning strike locally, where they lost the microphones towards the end of the program. And then we were all greeted with a torrential thunderstorm, which was lit up the sky with lightning. And after a 3-day 95 degree streak, which is not a lot in Savannah, but in the Berkshires, it's a lot to talk about. So it cooled us all down. And it was just one of those classic Berkshire nights.
Well, we're going to be looking forward to a classic Savannah night, or a classic Savannah Voice Festival night. And that is a wonderful cabaret performance that you and Asaf Gleisner will be doing. What sort of things have you been talking about doing?
I appreciate you getting the night and day piece of it, which is, of course, we want to be authentic to the festival theme, which is sunny days and starry nights, as you said. And this night and day theme is just that. It honors and tunes into the fact that I love music that feels, yes, I have that classical sort of leaning to my voice, but I also love the more sultry jazz style of music and the contemporary musical theater and some standards that everybody will be familiar with. And so it is sort of a tribute to that and all of the different styles of music that I like to do. And of course, because we have the brilliant Asaf Gleisner at the piano, we have to kind of lean into that jazzy, bluesy feel, which he just, it's just such a gift to get to sing with him. So I really am liking the program that has come together. I really am excited about the direction that it's going in, because it really will start with a more traditional musical theater, but then kind of bends around into, for example, All Right, OK, You Win, which is sort of a cheeky nod to what has become a tremendous love for the city of Savannah. And I can't wait to hear Asaf on this song because of its just the chops that I feel like he will bring to it.
do. I'll do anything you say. It's just got to be that way. Well, all right. Okay. You win. I'm in love with you. Well, all right. Okay. You win. Baby, what can I do? Anything you say, I'll do. Like, I love you and it won't be hard to do. Well, all right, okay, you win, I'm in love with you. Well, all right, okay, you win. Well, baby, what can I do? I'll do anything you say. Oh, it's just got to be that way. All I want from you, just love me like I love you. It won't be hard to do. All night, all day, I'm in. Ooh, and I'm telling you, all right, okay, you win. What are you waiting for? If you're gonna be my
And then some more lesser known musical theater and maybe a little bit of a nod to my roots, starting my musical career in the church. So it really kind of bends and weaves all the way around that. But also the night and day theme, it won't be heavy with this, but I never want to shy away from just the challenges that we all are facing in this world that we live in on a regular basis. And I want to lean into the night and day of that, which is that I may be thinking of it from one perspective and you're looking at it from another, and we feel like we are coming from night and day perspectives, but the night relies on the day and the day relies on the night. And so the coming together of that in a way that only music really can, I feel like, is an important piece of this. So it's like there is that night and day of the music, but there's a night and day of the world that we live in. And I'm looking at this through the lens of something that I got to do within the past year with PBS, which is a series called Stories from the Stage. And I was asked to participate in that at the beginning of last year, and it just aired this past January, which was about me finding my way back to the stage and sort of how I fought against it for a long time and felt like I had to give it up in order to pursue a more quote-unquote grown-up life. And I don't consider it a more grown-up life, but it was sort of the perspectives that other people kind of put upon me and that I allowed to happen. So using that story that I shared from PBS to bring it forward into a cabaret setting that I hope will be inspiring to people and who may be considering things that they're looking to revisit in their life that they were once really passionate about.
Of course, the show is called Night and Day. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's the Cole Porter song, Night and Day.
Correct. And I will not be singing it.
You will not be singing it.
I will not be singing it. No. I love that song, but it is not part of my story. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to try to put this in here. But, you know, the title was really more born out of being true to the theme of the festival. So when Maria and I talked about the title and she said, how about Night and Day? I said, great, but I don't think I'm going to sing Night and Day, the Cole Porter song. And she said, okay, fine, no problem. But we will, believe me, the theme of Night and Day will certainly get in there through the other songs. I mean, there are certainly plenty of songs that are, there's, you know, Stars in the Moon, which is a Jason Robert Brown song, which is from the musical theater canon, more contemporary musical theater canon.
Night had no traits of any value but his smile. I met a man who had no yearn or claim to fame, who was content to let life pass him for a while. And I was sure that all I ever wanted was a life like the movie stars led. But he kissed me right here and he said, I'll give you stars and the moon and a soul to guide you and a promise I'll never go. I'll give you hope to bring out all the life inside you and the strength that will help you grow. I'll give you truth and a future that's 20 times better than any Hollywood plot. And I thought, you know, I'd rather have a yacht. Met a man who lived his life out on the road, who left a wife and kids in Portland on a whim. I met a man whose fire and passion always showed, who asked if I could spare a week to ride with him. And I was sure that all I ever wanted was a life that was said, but you don't understand. I'll give you stars and the moon and the open highway and a river beneath your feet. I'll give you days full of dreams if you travel my way in a summer you can't repeat. I'll give you nights full of passion and days of adventure, no strings, just warm summer rain. And I thought, you know, I'd rather have champagne. I met a man who had a fortune in the bank, who had retired at age 30, set for life. I met a man and didn't know which stars to thank, and then he asked one day if I would be his wife. And I looked up, and all that I could think of was the life I had dreamt I would live. And I said to him, what will you give? I'll give you cars and a townhouse in Turtle Bay and a fur and a diamond ring. And we'll be married in Spain on my yacht today and we'll honeymoon. And you'll meet stars at the parties I throw in my villas in Nice and Paris in June. And I thought, okay. And I took a breath. And I got my yacht. And the years went by. And it never changed. And it never grew. And I never dreamed. And I woke one day. And I looked around, and I thought, my God, I'll never have the moon. And
there's a song called The Secret of Happiness, which is from an off-Broadway musical called Daddy Long Legs, which will also make its way in to the show. And there's also a great song, which I've really come to love, by Tony Hatch and Jackie Trent, called The Other Man's Grass is Always Greener.
Seems we're always searching in our dreams to find that little castle in the air. When worry starts to cloud the mind, it's hard to leave it all behind and just pretend you haven't got a care. But someone else in your imagination that you were standing in their shoes. You change your life without much hesitation, but would you if you really had to choose? So don't look around, get your feet off the ground. It's much better by far to be just who you are. The automan's grass is always greener, the sun shines brighter on the other side. The automan's grass is always greener. Some are lucky, some are not. Just be thankful for what you've got. Many times it seems to me there's someone else I'd rather be, living in a world of make-believe. To stay in bed till nearly three with nothing there to worry me would seem to be the life I might achieve. But deep inside I know I'm really lucky, happiness I've never known before. But just as long as you are there beside me, I know that I could ask for nothing more. Start with a love in your heart. So with you all the time, all the treasures I've longed for are mine. The automan's grass is
and move us forward and helping to shape the America that we want to be.
Always greener, the sun shines brighter on the other side. The automan's grass is always greener. Some are lucky, some are not, but I'm so thankful for what I've got. The other man's grass is always greener, the sun shines brighter on the other side. The other man's grass is always greener. Some are lucky, some are not, but I'm so thankful.
You know, so you can kind of see where that falls in with sunshine and starlight. Those themes are certainly there without being super on the nose.
And so a lot of songs from musical theater.
Yeah, definitely. That is certainly a love of mine. And that is something that I love, the work that I get to do at the Savannah Voice Festival in particular, with the more classical leanings. I feel like I'm often doing musical theater that feels more classical, more of that classic, legit sounding musical theater. And so that is definitely the way I'm leaning. And as I mentioned, I also get to lean into more of that bluesy, jazzy direction with songs like Son of a Preacher Man and All Right, Okay, You Win and Hallelujah, I Love Him So. Those are songs that definitely are not musical theater, but definitely also lean into that other sort of, maybe that's more of the night of the concert.
Well, and you said that you have your origins in church and you'll be singing some songs from that.
Yes, well, they are, like as I mentioned, it's really more of a cheeky nod to the origins of the church, which, so Son of a Preacher Man is kind of, has a funny story that will be tied to that. And I'm also looking at, I'm talking with Asaf right now about maybe working out an arrangement that is of a more, a very well-known church hymn, but making it, giving it the Asaf style. And I won't give that away yet because we haven't exactly landed on what that will be. But there's so many different possibilities, of course, of the direction we can go in. And with Asaf, who is a brilliant music director and partner, anything is possible, which I'm thrilled about.
Well, and as you mentioned, Asaf is famous here in Savannah for his more jazzy approach to music. And so are some of these songs going to be more bent in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the beauty of getting to work with him. And he and I, you know, we actually won't get to work face to face until I come down a few days before the concert, which, you know, always has its nerve-wracking elements. It also has its thrilling elements. And so as he is working on his different arrangements of the songs and we're just sort of talking back and forth, we get to find out when we see each other really how both of those mindsets will come together. And I know it will be brilliant. We had the great pleasure of working together. We were at the Jewish Education Alliance for a concert in May, and I was just amazed at the way that he can wrap his way around very familiar music, give it his own flair. And you are on a thrilling ride with this man who just lifts you up with the sounds of the piano. And it just, you are allowed to soar because of the way that he plays that piano. It is just spectacular experience. So yes, yes to your question. I just don't have a solid answer for exactly how that's going to look just yet.
Asaf is known as an accomplished collaborative pianist because of the fact that he actually is one of the three pianists that work at the American Traditions competition here in Savannah, which is a week-long competition where each of the three pianists are working with, starts out with 24 singers, I think, and then as they go through the rounds, they work with their person they've been working with as they go through the rounds. And we see a lot of him that week as a collaborative pianist.
As a collaborative pianist, and I think also from a singer's perspective, as a tremendous support in a competition setting, I would imagine it's things are coming together very much at the last minute. You don't know which round you'll advance to or where the direction of the competition will go. But to have someone so musically adept is such a gift to someone in that setting, I would imagine. And also, he's just, I mean, let me just say, such a lovely human. I mean, he's so warm, he's so nurturing, and you feel so held and taken care of when you're standing on the stage, when you know that Asaf is at the piano. There's nothing to worry about, which is not always the case, and is not lost on me what a gift that is.
And so you're very experienced at cabaret performing.
Yes, I can say that I am. That's probably, over the past decade, it's probably the arena of music that I've done the most work in, whether it's been here in the Berkshires. I have a music partner here that I work with. His name is Ron Ramsey, and he and I have been working together for just about the last 13 years or so in various venues around the Berkshires, around New England, and building and creating shows together. But also, as I, most people in Savannah will, who know me will know that I work very closely with composer David Friedman, and he has been such a champion of mine and has welcomed me into the songbook of, that he has beautifully curated through his vast career. And we have had wonderful experiences, you know, whether it's event at Don't Tell Mama in New York City or at the beautiful gala for the Savannah Voice Festival and at galas and events across Connecticut, which is where David lives. So New York, Massachusetts, Savannah, and looking at expanding that in the coming year. And I think, you know, again, what a gift to get to work with the actual composer himself on the work that he has so beautifully brought into our ears over the past several decades. And also getting to do that quite a bit here. I'm actually doing quite a bit in the Berkshires this summer. As I mentioned, my friend and partner, Ron, he and I have developed what's called the Berkshire Music Salon Series. As you may know, there are many beautiful, what we call Berkshire cottages throughout the Berkshires. And those are the Gilded Age homes that were built in the late 1800s and early 1900s that, of course, in their heyday were those summer cottages of some of the notable elites of the time. And we are visiting each of those cottages that are still standing and bringing salons that to the, each of the cottages that honor the history, but also bring the music of the era. And this summer, we're doing a trilogy of salons with the Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, starting in the next couple of weeks, that honor America's 250th. And Norman Rockwell and his contemporaries, they have an exhibit of all of the images that celebrate American history, celebrate and also shine a light on some of the darker places of American history. And we are doing a trilogy of salons for them. And we're also doing with Edith Wharton's The Mount, a program called The Jazz Barn. And that is with author Dr. John Gennari, who wrote The Jazz Barn, which is the old music inn, which was founded by Stephanie Barber and John Lewis. And that will honor the jazz music that came into the Berkshires thanks to these two people who created not only the school, but the music inn, and will be in the stable at the Mount. So it's a really cool series that where we get to stand in these spaces where musicians and very notable socialites from the era spent their time in their summers, and to be in those spaces and bringing music is exciting for us for this summer. So we're doing a lot in the Berkshires this summer.
And so the Norman Rockwell series that you're doing, that's going to be at the Norman Rockwell Museum?
Each song we do will be about a specific piece of art that is in the exhibit, and that, the first of which being Inventing America. So as you can imagine, it goes back to the Revolution and the music of the day, but also the artwork that, that Norman Rockwell very historically focused on from that era. And so we'll start with that as the first of the three. The second of which will be Mirroring America, and that will be just taking a closer look at what, again, sort of those darker corners that maybe we try to brush over from our country's history, but taking a closer look at that and also taking a closer look at how artists really put up a mirror and sort of helped America form its identity when there wasn't social media, when there wasn't television, when there wasn't a lot of ways to all be looking at the same thing at the same time. These artists were the mirror that were put up in front of us as Americans and said, okay, this is who we are, helps sort of form the American identity. So July 16th will be Inventing America. August 20th is American Mirror. And September 3rd is Visions of a Nation. So that final one will be more of about looking forward and how more contemporary artists are doing the same thing that Norman Rockwell and his contemporaries did that really help inspire, lift us, and move us forward and helping to shape the America that we want to be and the Americans that we want to be.
So tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I've been talking with Samantha Talora about her return visit to Savannah for the cabaret entitled Night and Day, which is part of the Savannah Voice Festival. The Savannah Voice Festival runs from August 7th to the 16th, and it is entitled Sunny Days and Starry Nights. And so Night and Day fits very well with that theme. And if we've been talking about, Samantha will be presenting a story that reflects her life as part of this cabaret, as well as presenting to us a wide variety of song. And of course, she'll be performing with pianist Asaf Gleisner, as we've talked about. This performance is on August 14th at 5 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah, which is on Troop Square. And I want to thank you, Samantha, so very much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you this summer, hopefully.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
What does it mean when we say that WRUU is a community radio station? It doesn't just mean that we invite the community to create programming. And it doesn't just mean that we are a voice for the community. It also means that we are counting on the community to keep us going. And you are the community. Almost all of our modest budget comes from small annual or monthly donations from listeners like you. You get to enjoy our community-focused programming because many others have stepped forward to do their part. Now do your part by joining our community of listener donors. Go to WRUU.org right now and make a one-time or monthly donation. And thank you for supporting Savannah's community radio station, 107.5 FM.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the 2026 Savannah Voice Festival. Season 14 of the Savannah Voice Festival is themed Sunny Days and Starry Nights and includes opera, art song, musical theater, and popular song. It is Everything Voice from August 7th to the 16th at several locations around Savannah. More information and tickets can be found at www.savannahvoicefestival.org. The Historic Savannah Foundation is offering a six-week series of line dance workshops as part of the Summer Fall Artisan Spotlight Series on Tuesdays at 5:30 to 7 p.m. from July 14th to August 18th at the Davenport House Preservation Center, 323 East Broughton Street, Savannah. Join for the full series or drop in for a fun 90-minute session. More information and tickets are available at www.myhsf.org. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight, on the second half of Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with Maria Zuvez, co-founder and president of the Cheryl Milne's Voice Programs, the Voice Experience Foundation, and the Savannah Voice Festival, about the combined culinary and musical experience that can be part of the Savannah Voice Festival. Primarily, we're going to be talking about the evening of Friday, August 14th at 6:30 p.m. at the Green Meldrum House, 14 West Macon Street, Savannah, a salon event entitled Voices in Classical Song. But we're also going to be talking about another special feature of the Voice Festival, and that is food associated with every event, perhaps. Welcome back to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Maria Zuvez.
Hi, how are you, Dave?
Well, this is a very interesting approach to music, but it's something that people in Savannah are very familiar with, and that is the idea of the salon concert, which combines food and music. But you're sort of extending that and expanding upon that for the Voice Festival this year. And so let's start with talking about the salon concert. The salon concert is entitled, as I said, Voices in Classical Song, and it is an emphasis on the art song.
That's right. So what this kind of comes from is how, in other times, how we would entertain ourselves. We didn't have big screen TVs and Netflix and all of those things. And a lot of entertainment for dinner parties and special events were salon music events. There would be poetry readings. There would be someone would play the piano. There would be someone to sing an art song. And Schubert, a very famous art song composer, as we know, used to do this a lot. He would write songs. He was very prolific. And so he would write songs and play them for a salon moment with his friends, to the point where he would invite people just to share his music. And they started calling them Schubertiades. So when we saw Savannah 14 years ago and what it had to offer and its gorgeous salons that were constructed at the time of all this music being done, we know that music was made in the house. And we thought the idea of a Schubertiade would work so perfectly. And thus, the salon series was born. And what perfect place to do it, especially in this 250th celebration, than the Green Meldrum House, which comes with such great history, a gorgeous Steinway piano that is well maintained, and the space for exactly what would have happened in those times. So we do it year-round, but we have been doing it in the festival since its inception. And it's very exciting to have that partnership with Green Meldrum. They are so gracious and work with us on this. But it also allows our patrons to enjoy what we feel goes together, which is food, wine, and song. It really is the holy trinity of experiences with our friends. And this really will represent what that trinity is. And I'm very pleased to say that in my work in music for the past 35 years, aging myself, it has been great to have a chapter two and work in my culinary pursuits, and that I'm actually able to wrap them in. I have actually for years, but now I can officially say I'm degreed from Escoffier, and I can wrap in all of my culinary pursuits within the structure of the festival, which includes, I'll just do a little one-off there, it includes the fact that we work with our studio artists on their holistic approach to their careers. So I do classes on wellness and holistic nutrition so that they can learn how to function better with their relationship with food as they pursue their singing, because singing is an athletic process. So they, like athletes, have to know how to eat and live. So I tie all that in, and I love doing the food events at the festival.
Well, as we've talked about, and as Cheryl and I have talked about, and I've talked about just about to every singer I've talked with, that is, in music, the instrumentalists have an instrument and themselves. But in voice, the instrument is yourself. Exactly. And so you have to take care of that instrument, just like a instrumental musician has to take care of their instrument.
Exactly. And I use that all the time. It's funny that you say it, because I use it with people all the time when I try to explain, you know, what makes us different from, we're all musicians, right? But there are instrumentalists and then there are singers. And for a singer, we can't just put our violin in the case and go off somewhere and have, a couple drinks and then perform the next day. We have to be very aware of our bodies, because our bodies is what serves us. We're not just using our voices, we're using our whole body, but we're also using our minds in such a way as to tell the story. So it is important to think of ourselves holistically, getting enough sleep, getting enough light, getting enough food, eating well, eating the rainbow. All those things are, I've been talking about them for a long time. And when we do our salon events, I try to reflect on that on the table. It's always a colorful table. It's always diverse. I try to do gluten-free options. I make sure that they're, you know, we care for everyone's needs. But it's always tasty. At least I hope so. This salon event will actually be a little special, because not only are we celebrating our 250th year in the United States, but we're also celebrating the joy of food as it pertains to music. And I'm going to be doing some wonderful kind of lead-ups to the festival with 10 recipes for the 10 events that we have. So I'm going to feature those actually in the salon event. So if people follow my 10 recipes, which will start 10 days out from the festival, every day I will release a new recipe that is about one of the events. If they want to come and sample those things that they watched, they can come to the salon event and do so.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And so 10 days out from the festival, you'll be posting on social media each day a recipe.
Correct.
That is dedicated to one of the 10 major ticketed events at the festival.
Right, in order. And I make the recipe in front of the camera. I talk about it. I make it. I talk about the event itself and why I chose that recipe.
And where on social media will these be posted?
So it'll be on all our platforms, but the easiest way to do it is to go on our Facebook page and just follow the link on that day, and it'll lead you to our YouTube channel. And we want people to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow these things. We've got some great performances up there. Some things that we've done, artists have done personally, some of our events, and actually we have things up there that we have posted from when we were just virtual. And I don't want those things forgotten, Dave. Dare I say, we did some amazing work during that time. It was incredible the amount of full shows that we did virtually with artists from all around the world that we curated into full shows. And those things have been a little put on the shelf because now we're live and excited and it's already been, 5 years later. But I want those things to have a life. And we have some of them on YouTube for people to enjoy. And I love them. Our Halloween show is my favorite show. It is a full show from start to finish, and it is one of the funniest things and most poignant things that I think we've ever done. And it was all done with everybody sequestered in their own space. So I don't want to forget that. But this particular series has been done in my home. So it's in my kitchen with all of my stuff. You can see all my foibles and my dirty pans and all my oven. And just kind of a homespun, if you came into Maria's kitchen and she made this dish, this is what it would look like.
Well, let's talk a little bit about each of the dishes that you're going to be doing for each of the programs. And okay. Why don't we start at the very beginning? And the beginning concert is the concert with all the young artists.
That's right. It's called our Rising Stars Concert. And so I am making a Rising Stars biscuit. And these are recipes that I have curated from other inspirations. Some of them are completely original to me. Others are inspired by other things I've learned, things I've learned in class, but things I've learned from other chefs. So Rising Stars uses olive oil in the biscuit because I'm Greek. And it works beautifully. It's a gorgeous biscuit with everything bagel seasoning on top and with a little butter. Mm-hmm. It's so good. So that's the first recipe. So the second recipe is our coffee concert. We on the Saturday for the 8th of August, it's going to be our coffee concert. So that is a spiced latte. It's a coffee concert spiced latte that I whip up for everybody. And it's full of wonderful aromas. There's no smell-o-vision in my show, but you'll have to make it yourself. And it's super simple. So we put that together in a sec. And then in the evening, we have the Broadway concert. So I made what I've made before. I love it. I've done it actually on other TV spots. It is the Broadway theater gourmet popcorn. So I make that with fresh ingredients and some nutritional yeast, and it's delicious. In fact, Cheryl ate the whole bowl once I made it for the camera. And Sunday is very special. Sunday is the Stabat Mater with the composer Pergolesi. And Pergolesi was in and around the early 1700s, he was composing. And I researched the food then and what was happening in the royal courts. And I found out that the street food at that time was pasta. And it was pasta in big iron vats that were cooked in fat, and whatever they had around, if they had fresh tomatoes or they had fresh cheeses and some herbs that somebody had in their garden, they would have them out on the street. And the street fair was people coming and grabbing a snack like we would the roasted peanuts on the street of New York, or our food trucks today, really. And they would serve this pasta in a paper cone to people. But the whole kicker was they didn't have forks. It wasn't invented yet. So they would use their hands. I remember their hands work really well, right? So they call these people that would eat this street food, mangia macaroni, eat macaroni, eat pasta. So I made up my own Pergolesi's mangia macaroni, and I make it. It's my take on it. It's butter and bacon and a little bit of tomato to stain it, to make it macchiato, to stain it, like we have our Starbucks macchiato, and a little fresh cheese. And I serve it in a paper cup, and I eat it with my hands. And it's what's wonderful about it is the history of food goes around with music so well. So you can imagine, you know, this young composer eating this mangia macaroni. In that royal court, the son of Carlos, his reign was during that time, loved it so much, he would sneak out of the palace and he would eat it. And he brought it to his court when it was his time. And he actually didn't want to serve it because you had to eat it with your hands. So he had someone devise a fork, some kind of a tong that was shortened so people could twirl their macaroni and eat it. So it's all about history. It's like music history. It's just tons of fun. So I had a blast doing that. And then on Thursday, we have our queens of the night, our three sopranos on stage doing their great opera musical theater and song concert. And so I thought, well, what do you give a diva? Of course, a flower. So I show people how to make an avocado flower as a something you can eat, but it also works as a beautiful garnish. And I serve that with salmon and some salmon caviar. That one takes some practice, but it's really fun to watch the video. And then on Friday, we have two concerts. We have the cabaret concert with Samantha Talora and Asaf Gleisner. And since she has called it Night and Day, to honor our sunny days and starry nights, I am doing a white and a black bean dip. So that'll be fun. And then that evening later on, we have two events. You can go to both. That later on evening is our salon concert. And so I love having a signature drink at the salon concert. So I made a pomegranate fizz, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. So you've got all the antioxidants of pomegranate, always keeping a mind to health and wellness. And it's red, white, and blue, just in time, right? And then on Saturday morning, it's the American Aria. Cheryl talks about American opera in a wonderful talk at the Davenport House. So in honor of my husband, who loves my tomato soup, and the fact that he is a big fat Greek in law from the movie, right? My Big Fat Greek Wedding. He calls himself a Greek in law. When he and Tom Hanks had a chance to talk at the Kennedy Center Honors years ago, he walked up to him and he said, "Hi, fellow Greek in law." And they had a very fun talk about how he calls himself the John Corbett. So I made my Big Fat Greek tomato soup. And it's with feta and olive oil and fresh herbs. And it's a delicious soup. Takes no time at all to put together. And then on the Saturday night, which is our big event, Die Zauberflöte, the magic flute, I love making peanut butter cookies. It's one of my specialties. So I am making a flourless Papageno nut and seed cookie. So it is a cookie that Papagena and Papageno would serve to their babies, the babies they talk about in their duet. So that's a fun cookie. And then on the Sunday, which is our big finale, since we're celebrating American opera, I am making a 250th celebratory red, white, and blue strawberry shortcake parfait. So it's a layered, almost a mini trifle of red, white, and blue. And people can enjoy that at the salon event as well. I hope everyone tries the recipes. I hope everyone enjoys watching the show. I don't take myself very seriously. We have a lot of fun in front of the camera for the 3 minutes that I'm there. And I hope that they learn a little bit more about the festival and music and what we're doing.
Well, and as well as the food that is served at the salon event, there's also going to be a concert. And
of
so
course.
Let's talk a little bit about the concert.
Yes, the concert, that's of the course, main is dish.
And of course, it's art song.
It's art song. It's beautiful song from all around the world. And Jody Goebel, who is our extraordinarily talented composer in residence, is going to be leading that. She did it last year, and it was just a very memorable event in our season 13. So for season 14, we're going to take another dive into different kinds of song. But something that's near and dear to me at that event is that we have commissioned from Jody a 5 Greek children's songs, like the Ravel 5 Greek folk songs that we all love in French. And I recorded them in Greek via AI audio. This is a nod to my childhood and all of the beautiful songs that we teach our children in the Greek community. It's part of the legacy. It's also poems that we teach our children. There's a beautiful poem about the moon, Phegari, Phegaraki Moulabro. We all had to learn it in Greek school when we were children. There isn't a child on a Greek island anywhere that doesn't know that poem. It's like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star for Greeks. Jody has taken that and many other of these traditions and turned them into 5 beautiful songs. Some are lighthearted and funny about going to a market and the sounds of animals. And then others are more serious, like the moon. And it just reminds me of my childhood. She's honored the Greek isms of it, the Hellenic background of it, but she's also made it her very creative own. So we're very excited about the fact that that's going to have its premiere on this Salon concert, along with other great pieces that people know and love, and maybe some new ones that they haven't heard of before. So that'll be a wonderful way to start the whole evening. And then when the concert's over, everyone can enjoy the buffet and the drinks. So we're very excited about that night. I think along with the cabaret show that will happen right before it, it's a diverse night. It's an interesting night. There's a lot of talent. Incredible talent will be represented that evening. And just a lot of camaraderie and fun, which I think is very much about the festival. You know, we think about wellness being community as part of our wellness. And I know that Savannah Voice Festival patrons feel a sense of family when they come into the room for our season and for our year-round events. And we want people to be part of that. We want people to join the Voice family. People think of us as being intimate, but what we do is big, and it is very special and very important, bringing 70 artists from around the world into Savannah for a three-week period every single summer for 14 summers is no small feat, and we have to celebrate that.
Well, we know Jody Goebel as an expert curator of programs and composer, but she's also an exquisite collaborative pianist.
Exactly.
And so will she be playing?
Yes, she will be playing. And, you know, it's funny that you just say it, because then I think to myself, yes, Maria, you always forget to add the fact that she is one of our finest pianists, as well as being an ecote. Her work with young singers, you know, she's been at Iowa State for many, many years, and a colleague of Chad Sonka's, who's head of the voice faculty there. And her work with young singers is just extraordinary. Heck, her work with everybody, her collaborative skills and her eloquent way of making the piano sing should never be dismissed. It is so important. And I think it's what makes that night special.
It's interesting, too, because it's sort of like this festival has a series of capstones. And because we start with this evening, because this whole evening, afternoon into evening, Friday, right, August the 14th, is extraordinary. Because, again, it begins with a wonderful cabaret performance by Samantha Talora. And then we go just a few blocks away, I think it's like five blocks, walk up to the Green Meldrum House for this extraordinary evening of art song as a Salon event. And then that is followed then by the expertly crafted buffet that we've been enjoying, at least the thought of, throughout the entire festival. That's then followed by the opera on the 15th.
Yes.
And then that is an extraordinary event. Again, the Magic Flute, Mozart's The Magic Flute, which is really interesting because the world premiere of the Greek art song cycle is children's song, things associated with children.
Yes.
But although The Magic Flute is a serious Mozart opera,
very sophisticated, with a lot of Masonic themes, yes.
It also is a story, a wonderful story of
love. Children love it.
Yeah, and children love it. So I think that's a wonderful connection.
It's very magical. It's very colorful. Absolutely, I agree. And Sunday is so special because not only are we having that wonderful celebration of American opera, for patrons that buy the patron-level ticket that day, or they can buy the series, they're able to come to our restaurant partner, 45 Bistro, and enjoy a very fun brunch before the show. So that's a whole day's event. Really, I encourage people to buy the patron ticket to come. by the time you're done having your own brunch and drinks and then coming to us, it's the same. And you're supporting our programs by doing that. And we are so grateful to 45 Bistro for doing that with us, for everything they do. They've been partnering with us for years. And it's very special. And it makes the last day kind of special because everybody, like I said, it's a community. And so everyone says goodbye. They say goodbye to the artists. It's a little sad that day. Everybody has to leave after being sort of piled up like puppies together for the 3 weeks making music. But that celebration of American music from Carlisle Floyd to Leonard Bernstein to Gershwin to... and our own music, Michael Ching and Jody Goebel, and this, we have a legacy of great operatic music in our repertoire in the world. Floyd is being done all over the world, as is other great works and great composers, Hagee and the like. So we have to celebrate that. I don't think we do enough. I think sometimes we tend to, all of us tend to go, well, Puccini, Verdi, Mozart, great, love it. Throw in some Bizet, you know, great. But okay, American opera, it's not tonal, or I don't get it. Really? It's in our language. It's tonal. Believe me, there are times when it goes here and there in wonderful ways, which we should. We need to push the envelopes. But it is very accessible because it's our language and it's our stories. So we can't dismiss that. We have to embrace it. And this is the best year to do so. So for anyone who is trying to figure out how they feel about opera, coming to this one at the First Baptist Church, which is such a great edifice for what we do. We did the world premiere of The Eleanors, which is the story of the Leopold family last year. It was a great success and a very important work, which is being done elsewhere now. We have to embrace American opera, and I want people to prioritize exploring that so that we can live on. We want all the Marriage of Figaro's. We want all the Barber of Seville's. We want to do Carmen. Of course. You know, what's the world without Traviata? However, we have to keep building the Traviatas and the Carmens for the next generation. And we've already done that. If we think about Susanna, Nixon in China, you know, all of these great works that are being done because somebody said, let's write it. Then we're doing the right thing. And I feel that way about Alice Riley and Anna Hunter and Royal Feast and all those other works that we have done with the festival. You know, it's very rare that you have a festival in our scale, our opera company in our scale, to commission as many works as we have. And the reason why we have is because we have made it our priority and our mission to do so. We have to keep opera vibrant, alive, and historica. Tell the story. We've told many stories about Savannah. We have to tell the story. And we can do that through food too, Dave.
Well, coming up, we have two Savannah Music Local and Sustainable episodes with me and Andrew Bezant, the artistic director, nerding over that last concert.
No, as I was talking just now, I thought Andrew probably went way over here in this direction about the same subject because, you know, Maestro Bezant is incredibly passionate about all of this and he feels the way we do and has conducted many of our world premieres.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I've been talking with Maria Zuvez, and we've been talking specifically about Savannah Voice Festival's event on Friday, August 14th at 6:30 p.m. at the Green Meltroom House in Savannah, and that is the salon event, Voices in Classical Song. And in addition, we've been talking about the further connection of culinary and musical experience that the whole festival will be. And I want to thank you so very much, Maria Zuvez, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me again and again and for all you do for the Savannah Voice Festival.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.